You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hey guys, before we get started today, I wanted to make a quick announcement about a live game I'll be streaming this Saturday, May 21st at 2 p.m. Central Time over at twitch.tv/trivialitymat. All you'll need is the TrivNow app. For more information, check it out at The Crop and Triviality on our Facebook page. Thanks.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff. This is Triviality.
Hello, and welcome to Triviality, the game where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name is Neil. I'm here with Jeff and Ken. How are you both today?
Good morning.
Not bad.
Good morning to you. It is a brisk 6 a.m. Our earliest recording we've ever done.
Do you know where you are right now, Neil?
I don't know. We're like 5 miles outside of Alabama. Is that right?
Ken does not operate at
not,
6 a.m.
We are not 5 miles.
Oh, maybe our guest we'll talk about in a minute. You know who's not here, though, at 6 a.m. is Matt.
Matt. Not here at 6 a.m., not here at 11.
He is not. I heard that he wanted to join the staff of Southwest Airlines to be a flight attendant. Because we know how much he loves
serving coffee and dealing with
unruly customers. So good luck to Matt when he flies the friendly skies. Our sponsor today.
Yeah. No.
Well, I was to say that's United's tagline anyway. So I think your sponsorships mixed up.
Well, Neil and I were at a wedding last night.
So we were.
Congratulations to David and Kendall, our friends who got hitched.
Congratulations to them. Nice. Yeah.
So we're in a fugue state today.
We are. Yeah. We were actually in a refurbished Chicago firehouse.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and they had a pole, and apparently the bride and groom are the only ones, if they request it, that can slide down the pole. And I guess they did a trial run, and it did not go well.
They're like, no, we're not sliding down this thing.
Yeah,
I would slide down the pole. I would grease that pole.
Oh, I would too. Yeah,
grease the pole, Neil.
That's like Buffalo Bill from Science Line.
Grease the pole. Put the grease on the pole, Neil.
I like grease on my pole.
I could tell you as a kid who had a fire pole as part of his like swing set jungle gym that my dad built.
You'd definitely go down the pole.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But I would not go down fast because my hands are so clammy. I basically would just get stuck to the pole now. So.
That's also why you're really good at exotic dancing too.
Yes.
Well, we have some
secret superpower. Clammy hands.
It's like what's that old cartoon with the superheroes, like the brothers or the brother and sister? Wonder Twins?
Yes.
Where they did like the fun anime. It'd be like Jeff, like activate.
Wonder Twins as strippers.
Yeah, like activate exotic dancing.
This is the stupidest thing. I never realized that those actual poles spun.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I thought that they were just spinning around the pole, but no, the actual pole spins.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to have a good grip.
It's like bearings in it.
Because I was wondering why no one ever had like their calluses and like skin broken on their hand from that. Yeah, but that makes sense though. They're incredible athletes, whoever does a good
enough
dancing.
Of that. Yes. Enough about poles.
All right. Well, we have some special guests here. We do not know. We can't confirm nor deny if they also are good at exotic dancing, but we're excited to introduce them. We mentioned 5 miles from Alabama because our first guest is coming to us from Pensacola, Florida, and they are an Oakland 5 supporter on Patreon. We're super excited to have them here. Colin Forehand, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Great to be here.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
As you said, I live in Pensacola, Florida, technically a really small town outside of it. I am currently a substitute teacher and hopefully going full-time teaching next year.
Oh, me too.
Oh, nice. I'm going to be sixth grade history.
Nice.
Oh,
I won't be a full-time teacher next year, but maybe eventually.
So you're like the cool history teacher then, or you will be?
I mean, that's debatable.
We'll find out by the end of this cast.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Colin. Happy to have you here. And we have someone to ask the questions today. They put together a wonderful game that we're excited to play. Coming to us from Natick, Massachusetts, Not a Robot on Patreon, that is Jamie Rishikoff. How are you, Jamie?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for being here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I live in Natick. My favorite pop culture moment for Natick was in an early episode of a Family Guy. When they suffer the apocalypse, they walk to Natick to find the Hostess factory for Twinkies, which would survive the apocalypse.
Oh, is it there?
That's where it is.
Okay.
I'm a psychologist most of the time. I enjoy trivia. And when I'm not doing those, I like to play ice hockey.
Nice. Well, I'm guessing you've probably heard many hours of us speaking, being on our show today. So what is wrong with us? the million-dollar question.
Ken, this show is only an hour.
Oh, right. Okay.
Do you want that alphabetically, chronologically?
Pathologically? No, that's great. We're glad to have both of you guys on the show. So I think I'll be teaming up with Colin today. Jamie will be presenting our questions. So, Colin, you went to a school that went viral briefly. Is that correct?
That is correct. I attended the University of Florida in the late 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to refer to that. And during a guest speaker public presentation, someone became unruly and spoke very loudly that he did not wish to be tased.
Ah, the "Don't Tase Me, Bro" video, right? So our team name today is going to be "Don't Shrink Me, Bro."
In honor of Jamie.
In honor of Jamie.
And we're going to go along that same track. And we're going to be Freud and Furious.
Sounds good.
The cinematic universe we're all clamoring for.
And a lot could be said about Freud, you know, good and bad.
Right.
But the man had a good beard, right?
And he did. My question for Freud and Furious is, are all the cars shaped like members?
Yes, <That's> correct.
Were you going to say Jamie also has a...
Also has a wonderful beard.
Really nice
also
beard.
It's a I'm little working bit on that. Longer than the rest of it, which is a little bit Freudian. I think it looks great.
It does look great. Jamie, you're the host today. Any preference on who you would like the rules read to be from?
I believe you have a foreign language one that you play sometimes.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
The Dutch.
The Dutch.
The Dutch.
One.
All right. Let's go Dutch.
De regels van het spel zijn simpel. 20 vragen verdeeld over 2 rondes, waarbij elke vraag 10 punten waard is. Halverwege is er een speciale swingronde, ontworpen door de host van deze week. Na deze rondes beginnen de spelers aan de finale, met de punten die ze hebben verdiend. En hebben ze de mogelijkheid om 0 tot 30 punten in te zetten op 5 gecategoriseerde vragen. Aan het eind van het spel wordt iemand benoemd tot the cream of the crop.
The cream of the crop.
Thank you, Willem, for that wonderful rules read. And apologies to everyone of Natick. I think I said Natick at the beginning because we were talking and having so much fun before we recorded that I forgot how to say it and I just went with my gut.
But it's Natick or Natick?
Natick.
Oh, Natick.
Natick. Okay. So it's apologies to Natick and the Hostess Factory.
All right, Jamie, take it away. We are ready for question one.
All right, so round one is known as Be Gentle. It's my first time because it is my first time. And question one, living the dream. Who was the first woman to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice? First in 1998 and then again in 2019.
I do like your guess. And do you think they maybe inducted solo and...
And with the band, yeah.
And with the band?
Okay. That's my thought.
All right, let's lock that in.
Like, my guess would be Joan Jett, but I'm not sure at all.
Joan Jett would be my second choice, and my first choice would maybe be Stevie Nicks.
Also,
prolific solo career along with a rock band. So which of those two do you like more?
I like yours better.
Stevie Nicks. All right, we'll go with Stevie Nicks. Could be Joan Jett, though, equally.
Yeah, we too hope we're on the edge of points. We said Stevie Nicks.
Points for both teams. Stevie Nicks with Fleetwood Mac in 98, and then solo work in 2019. Well done, guys.
Cool. Awesome. Good start, guys.
And probably a TikTok award for all the Ocean Spray videos using her music.
I hope she gets a piece of that.
I hope so, too.
Question two. What do you want to do tonight? The earliest known publicly demonstrated electronic game was created in 1950. Birdie the Brain was an arcade game built by Joseph Cates for the 1950 Canadian National Exhibition. What more familiar non-video game was it based on?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, we have a not great guess, but we're going to lock it in.
All right, so we're looking for a non-video game game that Birdie the Brain was emulating. What do you think right off the bat here?
Was it Birdie, like B-I-R-D-I-E, or Bertie?
B-E-R-T-I-E is okay. The spelling I have.
What do you think, Birdie?
It was the original Angry Birds.
I thought it was.
Just loaded up a bird, and the electronic part was that they had like shock collars.
When I first heard it, I thought it was Bernie the Brain, so it was like, thank you for playing my game.
All right, we know.
1% of the games.
Let me tell you about unions.
I'm thinking maybe something like chess, checkers, or like 20 questions or something like that. Because, like, you know, you have things like online 20 questions answerers and stuff, mm-hmm. which are pretty cool. But that would have to have a huge database of information backing it up. So
there are more potential chess moves in a game of chess than atoms in our solar system.
Great. What about checkers? What do you think about checkers?
Sure, let's go with it.
That's a good guess. We didn't even think about chess and checkers, which makes kind of a lot of sense. I just was trying to think of something that might be analog that when it was moved to a digital platform would have been kind of wowing, and we just thought maybe it was like a Magic 8-Ball, but a game version.
So you guys are on the right track with like simplistic strategy games, but it's actually based on tic-tac-toe.
Yeah, that would be simpler than checkers, wouldn't it?
It would. And just like tic-tac-toe, two X's on our score sheet here.
Question 3. Greetings. What did Alexander Graham Bell, the Scottish-born innovator credited with patenting the first commercial telephone, originally suggest as the standard greeting when answering the telephone? Hint, this was referenced on The Simpsons.
Neil, I believe we can lock in.
I trust you.
Yeah, I did not need the hint because I already knew it because of The Simpsons. I think it's ahoy, ahoy, right?
That's what I have too.
Or ahoy.
We too said ahoy.
I would have accepted both answers, and 100% I also only know that because of The Simpsons.
Neil, do you know which character answers the phone like that?
On The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Ahoy, ahoy, at the groundskeeper?
Nope, it's Mr. Burns because he's so old.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
All right, question 4. Let's get busy. Coined in the 1960s, hyperkinetic disorder was the first name for a disorder that is better known by what name today?
All right, I like what you wrote down, Jeff, and you wrote it in a very kinetic fashion, so let's lock it in.
Any initial thoughts here, Colin?
My first thought was probably ADHD.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, either ADHD or ADD.
I would lean towards ADHD just because that has hyperactive in the name, right?
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, let's go with that.
We too said ADHD.
Points all around. Well done. I was leaning a little into my profession on that one.
And we like that. Yeah, lean in as much as you want.
Yeah, we like to get a lot of different angles, different perspectives on the show.
Yeah.
Because we're just a bunch of idiots here. So.
And we're trying to change. So that's why we're happy you're here.
Question 5. Put up your dukes. Referenced in both the movie 2001 and Futurama, what was the first song sung by a computer?
I was just going to ask this question.
You serious?
Yeah.
Darn it.
Another question.
So we're locked in.
Futurama. I'm rewatching Futurama right now.
I'm trying to think what HAL 9000 would sing that would be kind of creepy and...
Now you've seen the film, right?
Yeah.
You just can't remember.
I just can't remember. I don't know. Is it like What a Wonderful World or... What a Wonderful World, I guess.
Yeah, I'm out of my depth on this one.
Okay.
All right, so I distinctly remember Hal singing Daisy, Daisy, and then it slows down. So I think that song's called Bicycle Built for Two. Would that be?
Oh, there's a Futurama episode called A Biclops Built for Two.
And then Put Up Your Dukes like Daisy Duke. That would.
Yeah. So that song.
So you got the right lyrics, but the song title I have is actually Daisy Bell.
Okay. So what's your judgment? What's the judgment here?
I'll give you guys the points then, because you knew the song.
Okay.
And it is absolutely the first song Hal learns. So as his chips are being pulled out in 2001, it's the last thing he does as he's winding down.
Right.
Because his memories are going backwards. Mm-hmm. But in 1961, an IBM 7094 was the first computer to sing, and that was the song. And the episode of Futurama is at one point, Bender falls in love with the AI of the ship.
Right.
And they are dancing together while he sings that to her.
Right. Oh, that's funny. Well, after five questions, it looks like Freud and Furious have 30 points, but in a slight lead, Don't Shrink Me, Bro, with 40.
All right. Question six. Come on, get happy. Wellbutrin, the common medication for both depression and anxiety, was first described to help people with a different affliction. When subjects were interviewed about other effects they might have noticed after taking it, several noted their mood improving, and then the prescription became a treatment for depression and anxiety after that.
I have a guess.
And what's your guess? Because all I'm bringing to this is Come On, Get Happy from the Brady Bunch. So I don't know if there's anything to do with the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, so Neil and I are going to lock in with what we think might be a good guess.
Okay.
Colin, I don't really know on this one, to be honest, so we can just take a stab at it and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm at a complete loss, so.
Let's say that it was meant to cure tinnitus.
That would be great. If they could find a cure for that, I would be thrilled.
Oh, yeah, they don't have anything. That's a terrible answer. All right, well, it's too late now. Too late to turn back.
We guessed high blood pressure.
I think you're right. There is no known cure for tinnitus, unfortunately. Wellbutrin was originally for quitting nicotine and smoking.
Oh, okay.
Question seven. Hey, Mr. Spaceman. Yuri Gagarin was famous for being the first man in space. Neil Armstrong was the first man on the moon. What was Alexei Leonov, the first man to achieve in space?
Okay. Yeah, actually, I'm okay with that. Let's go with that.
Okay. All right. We have an answer, and we're going to lock it in.
Cool. Colin, does the name ring a bell?
It sounds familiar, but I don't know exactly. I have a guess.
What would your guess be?
First man to orbit the Earth?
I'm trying to remember if that might have been Alan Shepard who did that. I was thinking maybe a spacewalk, but I'm good with either answer, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm fine with spacewalk.
All right, we'll go with spacewalk.
That's a good guess.
That is a really good guess. I just kind of leaned on
but
my...
You know the first man to moonwalk, though.
It wasn't Michael Jackson.
No, it was Neil Armstrong.
Wasn't James Brown?
Yeah, James Brown, and there actually was like a little kid who had the dance move. I think that James Brown took it from, too. I'd have to do some more research on that, but I know it was. They have like a really old video of it.
Sorry for derailing the...
No, that's okay. So I leaned on my knowledge of NSYNC, which always helps science questions, apparently. I don't think this is even right, but I know that Lance Bass for a long time was sort of the first big star that was going to go into space privately. But when I heard the name, I thought maybe there was like a Russian oligarch who had a lot of money and convinced someone to let him as the first private citizen to go into space. So that's what we said.
So that'll be points to Don't Shrink Me, Bro. Sorry.
Cool.
He was the first spacewalk. Question eight. Everything in this world is magic except the magician. What was the first movie to use CGI? Hint, it was based on a book and later rebooted into a TV show. Bonus question. What was the first movie to use 3D CGI? Hint, that was a sequel to the first movie.
And at the time when that came out, it was kind of
interesting.
I always think of it as more practical effects, but I could see that maybe there was some CGI in there.
I like that.
Okay.
And I would have never pulled that on my own in a million years. So.
All right. So it sounds like you guys are locked in with an answer.
We are locked in with the bonus and the regular question.
All right. Do you have any impressions on this one? Because I'm a little lost. I thought about it a lot, but.
Like the only thing I can think about is Wizard of Oz, which is way too early, but.
All right. So I'm thinking the movie has to be like early 70s, and I cannot come up with anything. I think we got to tap on this one and just find out what it is.
Well, I mean, early 70s, joke answer of Godfather. It's based on a book. Is there
sure.
a show?
Yeah, Godfather and Godfather 2. The big the big dinosaur scene in Godfather 2 with the 3D yeah. CGI.
And there's a TV show called The Offer just released now about The Godfather. So
I totally knew that when I set up.
I believe you.
Miles Teller.
Miles Teller, yeah, and Juno Temple.
Miles Teller, yeah. Mm-hmm. Miles Teller.
Yeah. Okay, so we were trying to think of movies that had groundbreaking CGI. We knew that Jurassic Park did it, but we knew that that was pretty late. But we were trying to think of Spielberg there, and we know Michael Crichton wrote Jurassic Park. He also wrote Westworld, which was a TV show that was out recently. And it was a movie with James Brolin. Had a lot of effects in it. So we said Westworld for the main answer, but we can't come up with the answer of the sequel to Westworld. So we'll just say Theme Park World.
And I think we're just tapping on this one.
All right. So points for the first part for Freud and the Furious. Westworld, 1973, first movie to use 2D CGI. And then the sequel in 1976 was Future World.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. easier name.
The hint was in the title of the question. Everything in this world is magic except to the magician. That's a line from the TV show.
I loved the first season. I didn't get a chance to really watch the subsequent ones where they had Samurai World and whatnot, which sounded really cool.
Did they ever go that far? I know they like show it into like they discover that the other worlds exist. But
I think they do. Because
they actually go into those other worlds.
Do they?
It's pretty interesting.
I didn't spend any time on after that, so I got to go back to it.
Question 9, and now a word from our sponsors. What product was the first television commercial advertised? Historically, it was a company that emphasized investing in advertising. First in 1931, that company launched a $1 million campaign despite it being during the Great Depression. And in July of 1941, the company made history by airing the first television commercial.
But while we're talking about sponsors, I'd like to thank all of our patrons for making this show possible.
Good transition.
Good transition.
So smooth.
So what? All right. So now that we're on it, what can they get?
For a small monthly contribution, you can get access to all of our bonus content, bonus episodes, including our well-received crop drops, I think. Mm-hmm. We don't hear much feedback, so and many other things. So if you are interested in supporting the show financially directly for a low monthly fee, just check it out, patreon.com/trivialitypodcast.
Very good.
We would be forever grateful.
Yeah, good. Join Jamie and Colin.
See, we dropped the spot on you so you couldn't skip it, people.
Oh, that's
in a random
true.
Spot. We're just going to drop it in random spots from now on.
We're very elusive with our mini ads here. I've known I've seen this before. I can picture it. I've seen a picture of the commercial, but does one of these make sense possibly?
Yeah, I think that they'd want to advertise. So. Oh,
okay.
Well, first off, I thought it was going to be a Southwest Airlines question just because it's a official sponsor this week. but I think it's a watch company. I can't remember which one. I don't think Rolex, but I remember reading this at some point.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Like Omega or as Daniel Craig says it, Omega.
Mm.
Which is how I prefer to say it as well.
Timex.
I think it was like Breitling or something like that.
Okay. If you have a hunch on this one, we can go with it just because I was thinking like cigarettes or like Folgers coffee or something.
Richard Branson has a Breitling that he can use if he gets lost anywhere in the world for the Coast Guard to come find him.
So you said the company puts emphasis on advertising, so probably a company that's like known for their advertisements. So maybe it is Rolex because they have the best ads probably.
Yeah, that's the only ones I've seen, like that I've noticed.
So. Okay, let's go with that. Let's go with Rolex.
So normally I don't trust my gut, and it's right sometimes, but I initially thought it was watches, just like Colin said, because I can picture the ad. I think it had like a moving hand. And it was like ticking or something like that. And so I wrote watches. Jeff wrote De Beers. And I just wasn't confident on watches. And I thought, you know, what was big in the 50s that still has a lot of money pumped into it. And we thought cigarettes. So we just said Philip Morris.
So good instincts, but no points. It was a watch company. It was Bulova Watch Company.
Bulova.
So in 1941, it was a baseball game between the Dodgers and the Phillies. And then they just had like a clock on the screen for 10 seconds, and it said America runs on Bulova time.
Mm-hmm. And Duncan.
So we got Ben Affleck running around with J-Lo, just got engaged, wearing his Bulova watch, drinking Duncan.
Last question from round one. Ad hominid. On Wednesday, June 7, 2017, the oldest known remains of modern Homo sapien humans were found. I'm going to do my best to pronounce this, and if you want me to put it in the chat, I will. They were found at the Jebel Irhoud site in what country?
Just based on the name and just general kind of what I know about that stuff.
Yeah, let's go with your gut.
Okay, I don't know if it's right, but...
Well, initial thoughts, I was probably Northern Africa, just because I first Homo sapiens out of Africa, and then Arabic, maybe?
Yeah, I was thinking that has a sort of Arabic ring to it as well, or, you know, some form. I was thinking maybe Iraq, due to the, like, Fertile Crescent and the that's kind of considered the main birthplace of humanity around that area. So I would maybe go with Iraq. But if you want to go with another location like Egypt or somewhere in North, you know.
Yeah, because in the Fertile Crescent, I know it's a lot like 5,000 BC and onward. Mm-hmm. A lot of like but I don't have a specific guess for Africa. So yeah,
Iraq.
I'll go with Iraq.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. We just tried to stick with Central Africa because we think that's where modern humans come from, and picked a country in that area that would speak Arabic, and we said Ethiopia.
So no points on that one. They were actually in Morocco.
Okay.
Ah, Northern Africa.
So
you were right, on the right track with Northern Africa.
Well, we're pretty close together here with the scores. Looks like Freud and Furious are at 40, and Don't Shrink Me, Bro, still ahead by 10 with 50.
Cool.
All right, for the swing round, it's called Pop Quiz Hotshot. It's dedicated to my son who helped me write this quiz. We'll be matching sodas with places of origin, which might be either a country or a U.S. state. 5 points for each correct match.
Very cool.
I'll list off the sodas first and then the locations when you guys are ready.
Sounds good.
Dr. Pepper, Pepsi, Coca-Cola, Sprite, Schweppes, Root Beer, 7-Up, Mountain Dew, Orange Crush, Mellow Yellow. Locations, Switzerland, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Australia, Missouri, Georgia, Texas, Germany, North Carolina, California.
All right, we'll ponder these locations and sodas and be right back.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
One particular argument, he ended up dislocating Ava's jaw. Ava, she was such a tough cookie. Rather than cry or scream or anything like that, she...
Or call the police.
Like she should have, exactly. Exactly. What does she do? She takes an ashtray and she knocks him over the head and knocks him unconscious. That's how she fought back. She didn't know what to do, so she called Louis B. Mayer. I think I've killed Howard Hughes. What do I do?
Revisit a time when the pictures were still big and everyone was ready for their close-up. When you want Tyrone Power instead of Tom Hardy, Jennifer Jones instead of Jennifer Lawrence, or Robert Mitchum rather than Robert Pattinson, then From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
And we are all locked in with our answers. Back to Jamie for the sodas once more.
All right. So I will list the sodas, I guess, and you guys can tell me what you each answered, starting with Dr. Pepper.
We thought that maybe Dr. Pepper came from Texas.
Yeah, I think their headquarters is in Waco or something.
Yeah, I didn't know, but Colin confidently said.
Texas.
That's right for both teams, and it is indeed Waco, Texas. Number two, Pepsi.
It's a little bit of a spoiler for a future answer, but we were 100% sure that Coca-Cola was from Georgia. We thought maybe there's some southern-northern rivalry, and we said Pepsi maybe came from North Carolina.
And we said Pennsylvania for this one.
That's points for Freud and Furious, New Bern, North Carolina. Coca-Cola.
Yeah, as Neil said, pretty sure this was Georgia.
Correct for both teams, Atlanta, Georgia. Sprite?
Sprite, in the other room, Jeff was doing a German accent, and he said, it sounds really good in German, so we said Germany.
And for this one, we put California for essentially no reason, except we wanted to split up 7-Up and Sprite into foreign and domestic.
I kind of want to hear it in the accent, but it is from Germany.
Nice.
I can't say it was great, but it sounded reasonable. So,
next up, number 5, Schweppes.
And for that one, we thought Switzerland.
Yeah, we too thought this sounded Swiss.
Right for both teams, Switzerland.
And we were having a debate. Are there mountains on the Schweppes bottle? What's the logo?
Ooh, there might be.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too.
Is it like a bear hidden in the mountain or something too?
Yeah, right. All right, what's number 6?
Number 6 is root beer.
We put Missouri because root beer kind of evokes the Old West, maybe.
Yeah. Sarsaparilla.
Oh, the old sarsaparilla. This was one of our last ones.
California.
Yeah, it's one of our last ones to figure out. And so all we had left was Pennsylvania. So that's what we went with.
Well, process of elimination worked for you. It is Pennsylvania. Next up, 7-Up.
For this one, we said Australia.
All right, quick Neil story time here. The only time I got in trouble in high school, I was in the library helping out part-time or whatever during a free period, and I had a t-shirt from that famous commercial, if you remember, Make 7-Up Yours. And the t-shirt had the 7-Up logo on the front. On the back, it said Up Yours, so it was Make 7 and then Up Yours. Anyway, the librarian was very offended one day and made me go to Mr. Lahotsky, which I didn't even meet him because I never went to the principal's office.
Good kid.
And he's like, hey, I really like this shirt. It's a funny joke. I know the commercial, but if she's upset, you got to take it off.
You got to turn it inside out.
So I was shirtless the rest of the day.
Shirtless?
Yeah, no. I had to take it off, yeah. But anyway, I saw Ryan.
He was too busy making 7-Up his. And
yeah, right. But no, we said 7-Up, maybe it was from Missouri.
Yeah, that's right. St. Louis, Missouri. Next was Mountain Dew.
We were pretty sure this was Tennessee.
And I could be wrong, but we had some sort of image of the original Mountain Dew in bottles with like a Southern character or caricature or something, cartoon. So we said Tennessee as well.
Points for both teams, Tennessee. Orange Crush.
For this one, we said Germany.
And this one, thanks to, Red Hot Chili Peppers?
R.E.M.
R.E.M., thank you. In Rock Band. We don't think they're from Australia, but we thought Orange Crushes.
I feel like we're going to be crushed by this correct answer.
We stayed away from Germany on this one because Fanta, I know, is from Germany. So,
actually, both teams were crushed this time. Orange Crush comes from L.A., California.
Okay.
Last one, Mellow Yellow.
By process of elimination, we said North Carolina.
Yeah, I thought for sure if you're going to be mellow, you'd be out in California. But what do we put?
We put California.
Which we know we're wrong.
Thanks to Cole Trickle from Days of Thunder, Mellow Yellow.
So Mellow Yellow actually comes from Australia.
All right. After the swing round, it looks like there's a lead change here. Don't shrink me, bro. Only picking up 20 points in the swing round here.
Only
20 points. That's pretty good though. Bringing their total to 70. And with 8 correct answers and 40 extra bonus points here in the swing round, Freud and Furious bring their total to 80. So now we are ahead by 10.
Neil always coming through in the swing round. Tell you.
That's my only good round, really. So that's why I have to hang my hat on.
I know a lot about soda, unfortunately.
Well, luckily, my best round is round 2. So let's hear it.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the pop quiz, because this is pop quiz again, Hotshot. More about soda. And because we're doing soft drinks again, I'm going to say we may or may not have some of the same sodas as answers. No commitment either way.
All right.
Question 1 for round 2. King of beverages. What is the oldest major national soft drink in the U.S.?
Neil and I think we're onto something here and we're going to lock in.
Okay. Colin, if it was the king of sodas or the king of beverages, would that be Royal Crown?
That's kind of what I was leaning towards. But
and I think I remember it being like really, really early, that one. So
yeah, I think it, Dr. Pepper and Coke were all fairly close together. But
yeah, but Dr. Pepper's a doctor, but he's not a not quite a king.
No, it's not quite majestic enough.
All right, we'll go with Royal Crown.
Yeah, my third option when I say Pepsi or Coke, we said Royal Crown.
I kind of like RC the best.
Are you okay, so it sir? Actually is. Sorry about that. That is Dr. Pepper. They've been around since 1885.
Oh, wow. So he is the king.
He is the king.
Yeah. And the doctor.
Question two. Hey, big guy, how you holding up? You want a soda? Where does the word soda come from?
I've heard that phrase before outside of the roller rink.
This is a Neil story that he's repressed.
Well, now that Jamie's here, it's all coming out now.
It's all coming out.
I'm taking notes, guys.
You unzip me.
It's a really nice conversion van, though. Jeff had a unicorn on the side. Jeff, do you know where the term soda comes from?
Yes, I believe so.
I know there's like a soda jerk, but do we need to go another step further to baking soda or...
That's the first thing I thought of was baking soda, but I don't know the origin or where it came from.
Maybe let's say soda jerk. I don't know. Soda I don't jerk. Know how far we need to go. That's like a, you know what I'm talking about. They're not really not jerks.
No,
they're nice.
I wish we had places that had soda jerks. Like you got walk in, they're like clean the table. They're like, how you doing? You know.
Is that just a term for the person who serves the soda?
I thought so.
Pretty much.
I'll look it up. What's your answer, guys?
I went and had a frozen custard the other night, and the guy was exactly what I would have thought of for like a 1950s soda jerk.
He was wearing the paper hat.
No, not at all, but he was very lively, and he seemed to have a good time, and he was very funny, and I appreciated that. So,
like Pleasantville.
Soda jerk was a pun on soda clerk.
Oh. So there's one person who was just... And they're like, yo, yeah, soda clerk, more like soda jerk.
And then everybody starts saying
it was Costanza.
Yeah, and he goes, I slept with your wife.
Yeah. We think it comes
there's
from
a place that
carpet.
Still has soda jerks.
Oh, really?
Sorry. Yeah, in Philadelphia. No, yeah, Philadelphia, I think, has it.
Nice.
Oh, I got to check that out. Maybe.
And it's like, it's very old fashioned, a lot of fun.
I'd love
and
to go to
not
like, a malt shop. Yeah,
I would love to see that. Maybe our listener Kiana, who's been on a bunch of episodes, maybe take some pictures and send them to us because until we can get there.
Yeah, I just want to go to an old school malt shop and share a malt with Neil with two straws and.
I'll do it. That's fine. What did we put for soda?
And then I'll come up to the table and I'll say, "Hey, you, you're my density.
Get your damn hands off of
Jeff.
Milk." Chocolate.
All right. So you said bicarbonate?
Yeah, we said bicarbonate of soda.
Like sodium bicarbonate?
No, I believe. I mean, it might be baking soda, but we said bicarbonate. Bicarbonate of soda.
Okay.
Soda comes from sodium salts, actually.
Okay.
The salts reduce the acidity in the soda. Question three. Fizz fizz. In the late 18th century, Joseph Priestley created the first drinkable man-made carbonated water. His process was then further developed into a more practical process by what German-Swiss jeweler who became known as the father of soda?
All right, so we wrote down some ideas, but then we remembered Jamie's clue that possibly some of the answers from the swing round could be showing up again, and one of them kind of made sense to us, so we're going to lock it in.
Yeah, I agree with their sentiment that there might be a clue here. He said Swiss, and Schweppes is Swiss. Yep. Would you agree so far?
I would agree.
I also remember seeing like on the Schweppes cans as like established 17 something or other. And I'm like, holy, I can't believe carbonated water came around that early. So led me to doing some research and it's true. So you want to say Schweppes?
Yeah.
We agree. We also went with Schweppes.
Yeah, you guys caught that right. Jacob Schwepp was the German-Swiss jeweler. Question four. Settle down, people. What soft drink was originally named Bib Label Lithiated Lemon Lime Soda, containing lithium citrate? containing lithium citrate, a mood stabilizer, until 1948 as an ingredient. Its name was later altered to a more commonly known name today.
All right, Jeff, you wrote down an answer that I think is pretty good.
I miss the good old days when we got lithium and cocaine and sodas.
All right. So we got lemon lime. So our options are probably Sprite, 7 Up.
Mellow Yellow.
Mellow Yellow.
Sierra Mist.
Sierra Mist. Not Sierra Mist. That came about later, right?
Technically Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
So which one, do you remember which one was which here?
Mellow Yellow, Australia.
I kind of like Sprite for this one.
I mean, that was from Germany, right?
Yeah.
So could this be German?
The name is really boring, so possibly. Yeah.
Very literal. It's
very
very literal.
All right. Yeah, let's do that then. Let's do Sprite. Okay.
I thought maybe it would describe the feeling being up. We said 7 Up.
Yeah, that's points for Freud and Furious. It is 7 Up. Question 5. The great national temperance beverage. In 1985, Coca-Cola released a version of their signature drink with a yellow cap. What did that yellow cap signify? For a bonus, what ingredient shift was made to create that special version?
So I think that's too late for the removal of cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
It was the 80s.
They put it back in for the 80s.
I remember seeing this bottle at the Coca-Cola Museum in Atlanta. They have a huge museum there that's really
Neil's
cool.
Neil's been everywhere. Yeah, Neil's been everywhere.
I have to like Coke, though. It's where I was born. So I've seen it before.
In
but
a puddle of Coke.
I was born.
Where you were born.
I was born in a puddle of Coke. what's his name? Skarsgård from Dune when he comes out of the...
Yeah.
Whatever his character. I haven't seen Dune, but from the trailers, whenever he comes out.
You still haven't seen Dune?
The Baron.
It's pretty
the
good.
The Baron, yeah. I like your answer, Jeff, that you wrote down. Initially, I was thinking more flavor because of the color, but it does make sense that the 80s, maybe they would have manufactured something to go along those lines. So you want to just go with that then?
I feel like the color makes sense for some reason.
I think so too, because this is all I was going to write down, but I just feel like that's too simple. So... let's go with your answer.
Okay.
I feel like the yellow cap, it comes out for Passover, I thought, but I don't know what they would take out.
Ooh.
Is corn not kosher? Or
I don't think there's any corn in it, right?
Corn syrup.
Oh, corn syrup.
Oh, there's definitely corn. There's corn.
Yeah, lots of that.
Oh, it's a very corny beverage.
Is that
Yeah. Let's say it's natural sugar Coke and no corn syrup.
Is that our new challenge, by the way? Like, should we take a glass of Coke, put a stalk of corn in there, and like stir it, and then drink it?
No,
no corn.
I don't think
Coke.
That would do much.
All right, so let's say that. I okay. do like that. I don't know why corn wouldn't be kosher, but maybe.
I thought that I remember that Diet Pepsi for sure came in like a silver can, and I think Diet Caffeine Free came in a gold can. So we're gonna guess that this was Caffeine Free Coke.
All right, so Colin had it right on both counts. Originally, Coke was made with sucrose, and then they shifted the recipe to high fructose corn syrup, and that made it no longer kosher for Passover.
Oh.
So a rabbi petitioned Coca-Cola, and they reverted to a sucrose version for Passover with the yellow cap.
That's really neat.
Yeah. Good
well
call.
Done, Colin.
Yeah, Colin.
Yeah, great job.
Here I am sitting here. There's no corn in Coke. Of course what? There is.
Colin showed
corn and everything.
Well, it looks like the first half of the second round here. The scores are basically the same, the difference here. We have Don't Shrink Me Bro picking up 20 points, bringing their total to 90, and Freud and Furious also picking up 20 points, bringing their total to 100, so still a 10-point game.
All right, question 6, the refreshing drink. Prior to the outbreak of the Second World War, Coca-Cola's only unqualified success on the international scene was a bottling operation in Nazi Germany. Sales records were being set year after year in that venue, but by 1939, they had 43 bottling plants and more than 600 local distributors in Germany. However, with the war looming, obtaining the key ingredients necessary for the production became increasingly difficult in Germany, which made production much more difficult. What soft drink was developed during the Second World War when Coca-Cola couldn't get their syrup from USA to Germany?
We're locked in.
All right. So you may recall Jeff mentioned something. It may or may not be in the recording, but he mentioned that Fanta was German, and I didn't really need that hint because I knew that, and I do remember that Fanta was like a product of Nazi Germany. So do you want to say Fanta?
I do.
Now do you want a Fanta after learning all that?
I don't want to admit that I think you're right. We said Fanta.
Points for both teams. It's Fanta.
Yeah, I actually told Neil this during the break, during our discussion for the Orange Crush thing. So,
not this time, but sometimes Jeff's elocution. What's the word?
Elocution?
Elocution, sure. Of additional information.
Bites him in the ass,
which is great.
That is true, actually. That's happened quite a lot. And you've also told us about your favorite children's book, The Fanta Toll Booth, where kids drive through and they just get Fanta.
What about your favorite Billy Zane movie, The Fanta?
That is a really good
Fanta, though.
I have to say, my absolute
The Fanta of the Opera. All right, let's move on.
I was gonna do the Fanta thread, but thank you.
All right,
yeah, very good. We're all being Fanta menaces, so let's just continue.
Question 7: Not the Chief of the Choctaw. The first restaurant of what franchise was founded in Sacramento, California, in 1923 by Roy W. Allen and Frank Wright? They were known for putting their mugs in the freezer before serving their signature drink to customers.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
I heard Allen and Wright, so it's got to be the famous A&R root beer, right? A&W?
Yeah.
That's
what I had.
All right.
We too said A&W. I have some of these mugs.
And they're still cold.
That is correct.
Keep A&W. On dry ice.
Question 8, America's most misunderstood soft drink. Frosty Dog was the mascot for what soft drink from 1956 all the way to the 60s?
Oh, I can draw you the logo, but I can't.
Draw me the logo.
Oh, hold on.
Hey, Neil, can I also see the logo that you're drawing?
No, I just, it's this though, but it's the one we used to, well, maybe not you, but when I played baseball as a kid, we would always go to the batting cages, and I'd get one of these after I went to the batting cage.
You just said it was suspended in the 60s.
I don't know. You just have to go with something, because my thinking was way off, as the edited portion of this podcast will show, that no one will overhear.
Yeah.
I'm just going to look up the logo. I thought it was.
He was talking about Slurpees and Icy's, and I think he's... You're thinking of Slush Puppies.
Slush Puppy. Oh, my God.
That's not even a soft drink, though.
I know, but that's what I was thinking. I was Slush Puppies. That's
a hard drink because it's got ice in it.
Yeah. I was on the ice train because Jeff talking about his mugs.
Soft drink just means it doesn't have alcohol in it.
Right. So what are you guys saying?
We're going to say Slush Puppies.
Okay. What do you think?
It's Mug? Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper? Oh, yeah. He knows it. Oh, right. Okay. Dr. Pepper. Great.
I was going to make a joke about salty dogs, but it doesn't.
All right. Colin has it. It was Dr. Pepper.
The game is now tied.
It is tied. Yeah, that was a bad question for us.
Question 9. Pull out all the stops. What was invented in 1891 by William Painter in the United States, making it possible for sodas to be sold anywhere, not just in pharmacies or soda shops?
Yeah, I was thinking along those lines.
Okay.
Something like that.
All right, I'm just thinking of the clue and the title, pull out, I don't know. That's what it was, or whatever it was. Anyway, we're locked in.
I'll bleep that. I'm thinking if you're pulling out all the stops... The stops are usually corks.
Yep.
And now, since we're pulling them out, we're replacing them with bottle caps. What do you think about that?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Bottle caps. And not the candy.
We also thought bottle caps as well.
No, the candy would make a terrible pop stopper.
Yeah, it's bottle caps, also known as the crown cork, crown seal, or crown cap. Points for both teams.
You ever see anybody remove a bottle cap with their teeth?
And think...
That guy's got messed up teeth.
Dental bills.
Yeah.
Last question, round 2. From the Zingiberaceae family, what plant-based flavoring or ingredient, still popular in soft drinks today, has been used in medical drinks for centuries? It was one of the first spices to have been exported from Asia, arriving in Europe with the spice trade. It was used by ancient Greeks and Romans, and although popular in folk medicine there's no good evidence that it has any effect on human health or as a treatment for disease.
I was trying to think of things that are in soda. Sometimes they always promote like, oh, it has this, but maybe those. I was just thinking of, like he said, the trade from China.
Oh, okay. That I like as an answer if you want to go with that.
Okay.
This, I like that enough that it's a half decent guess.
Okay. We don't like this, but we like that, which means we're going to lock in with our answer.
Okay. Colin, I think this is the root beer flavoring. Would you agree with that, or are you thinking something else?
I was thinking ginger.
Ginger.
When I said root, I don't know, not really spice, but that's kind of what I was.
That's not bad
towards.
Either. I think ginger does have some like actual medical qualities. Yeah. I know when I'm nauseous, I chew ginger gum sometimes. It helps.
You're always chewing ginger gum while we're recording. Is there a reason for that, Jamie?
don't just say something and then go, Jamie. Quit trying to analyze me, bro. I think it's because I've heard that the root beer flavoring is medicinal, but not, you know, really. So is it sarsaparilla? Is it? What's it called?
Sassafras.
Sassafras, that's it.
I
think it's sassafras.
Isn't that what the dog says in like those old cartoons?
No,
like
succotash.
It's a cat.
The cat.
Do you like sassafras? As an answer?
Okay. Yes.
You're good with it. If it's ginger, I'll repent.
Jeff wrote sarsaparilla. But when I heard the trade from China and whatnot, I wrote down ginger, and we both looked at it and we're like, maybe ginger makes sense. There's a lot of sodas that have ginger in it.
Well, and if you were brewing it, it could be a ginger ale. So
correct. So we said ginger.
So I want to see some repenting because it is indeed ginger.
I'm sorry.
I will bring the cat of nine tails to the studio. Don't ask me why I have one.
You cooking up crow for me?
So
I do think there's a lot of tradition and like folk stuff around ginger, but I don't think there's hard evidence that I know of at this point.
Okay, that's fair.
For medicinal.
I mean,
tastes good.
It makes me feel good.
Makes my tummy feel nice.
I mean, I have mints for the same reason. I mean, it's just
The only certainty in health benefits is that the only ginger that you know makes you feel good when you hear the music is Ginger Spice from Jerry Halliwell.
There it is.
I was thinking the same thing.
I used to feel good watching Ginger on Gilligan's Island.
Oh, there you go too. Nice. Another ginger.
Another ginger.
All right. After regulation here, it looks like Don't Shrink Me, Bro almost was perfect in that final five there without Ken repenting now. But they picked up 40 points, bringing their total to 130. And Freud and Furious taking the lead once more by 10 points by picking up 40 points in the second half there, bringing their total to 140. So it is 140 to 130 in the final round.
And as Neil always says, it's anybody's game, but for once it is. So, yeah.
What are our final round categories?
So, breaking tradition, there is one final round category, unless you want the question names.
No, that's fine.
That works for me.
All right. Final round questions will all fall under the category of kick astronomy.
I thought it was going to be soda.
Okay, we heard the final round category for all five questions, kick astronomy, and our wagers are locked in. So let's hear those questions, Jamie.
All right, question one, shields up. A hypergiant with a radius around 1,700 times larger than our sun, first cataloged in 1860 by German astronomers at the Bonn Observatory. It was the 38th variable star in a constellation whose name is Latin for shield. The name is derived from that constellation. What is the name of the largest star in the universe? Known. Question two. Sabe Kopenge? There are five officially recognized dwarf planets in our solar system. All but one are in the outer solar system. What is that one, and where is it located? Question three, the lonely planets. What are the only two planets in our solar system with no moons? Question four, bring me my cup of ambrosia. What is the largest moon in our solar system? Hint, it is named for a hero of Greek mythology from Troy who is described as the most beautiful of mortals who was abducted by the gods to serve as Zeus's cupbearer in Olympus. He became the symbol for homosexual love. For a bonus 5 points, what planet does that moon orbit? Question 5. Get back in line. What was unusual about the configuration of our solar system from 1978 to 1999?
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas. Plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back with our answers. We'll see what happens. We bet 25s all the way down. The opposite team bet zeros all the way down. So it's up to us not to destroy ourselves. So let's get the questions one more time, see how we did.
All right. A hypergiant with a radius around 1,700 times larger than the sun, first cataloged in 1860 by German astronomers at the Bonn Observatory. It was the 38th variable star of a constellation whose name is Latin for shield, and the name is derived from that constellation. What is the largest known star in the universe?
All right, I'll let Colin take this one so I don't have to accidentally bleep it.
Funny fact, that's why I remember the word. The only thing I remember from this is I know Latin for shield is scutum or scutum. But I don't know if that's the name of the star as well.
All right. So that's what we said.
Yeah. I know there's a couple, and I think there's a couple different maybe types of shield, because I think Cephei, C-E-P-H-E-I, something like that. There's a couple Mu Cephei, and I think VV Cephei A is the one that we locked in with is the largest, but it's hard to know by, you know, solar mass or size. I don't know.
I'm going to call Colin close enough. It's actually Scuti is the name of the star. Ooh. Derived from the Latin. It's UY Scuti.
Okay, so far so good.
I was totally off. Good thing we didn't bet anything.
Question 2, Sabe Kobenge. There are 5 officially recognized dwarf planets in our solar system. All but one are in the outer solar system. Which one and where is it located?
Yep. Again, for no points, I'm pretty sure this is Ceres, and it's located in the asteroid belt.
And for you, Colin?
Also had Ceres.
And in the Kuiper belt.
Kuiper belt, yeah.
So it is Ceres, and it's in the asteroid belt.
Oh, that's different, right? Asteroid and Kuiper belt?
Yeah, asteroid is between Mars and Jupiter. Kuiper belt is beyond Neptune.
All right, so that's a fail for the question.
Yeah, I'm going to have to call that one wrong.
Okay.
Question 3, what are the only 2 planets in our solar system without moons?
For this one, for 25 points again, we said Mercury and Venus.
Yeah, we know about Moon, Phobos and Deimos on Mars, and beyond there's too many to count, so we said Mercury and Venus.
So points and no points, Mercury and Venus.
I'm counting this as plus 0, thank you.
Sorry, my bad. Question 4, bring me my cup of ambrosia. What is the largest moon in our solar system? Hint, it is named for the hero of Greek mythology from Troy, who is described as the most beautiful of mortals, abducted by the gods to serve as Zeus's cupbearer in Olympus, and became the symbol for homosexual love. For a bonus 5 points for either team, what planet does it orbit?
Yeah, for this one, we said Ganymede and Jupiter.
We too said Ganymede and Jupiter.
Which makes sense as the cupbearer.
That is, yep, and that's correct all around.
All right, so you guys get the plus 5 points and we get our full points.
Nice.
And final question, get back in the line. What was unusual about the configuration of the solar system from 78 to 1999?
Yeah, we didn't really know how to answer this one. So we just said the shape of the ellipse was changed somehow.
Our guess was Pluto was still considered a planet at that time, and Pluto was closer to the sun than Neptune. So we just said that.
So that is plus zero for Freud and the Furious. Pluto has a irregular orbit, and it was briefly closer to the sun than Neptune.
All right, after the final round, it looks like Freud and Furious is only going to be picking up those 5 bonus points as we bet zero all the way down, bringing our total to 145. But Don't Shrink Me, Bro, picking up 25 points plus the 5-point bonus, bring their total to 160, making them today's cream of the crop.
The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
Colin, yes. It was all you in that final. Even the ones I knew, you had to walk me to, so.
I don't even feel like it was just the final. I mean, I don't feel bad for losing. I mean, I didn't know the scrotal star or whatever it was.
scrotal? Scotty.
Oh, sorry. Freud on the brain. The answer with the yellow tabs, I was just like, you had some excellent pulls, you know, so. You were a very worthy opponent.
And wonderful questions, too.
And what about me?
And you carried Ken well.
Thank you.
Ken carried the entire first round, so I'm happy to contribute later.
That was a great game.
It was a good team effort, you guys.
So, Kyle.
Great questions from Jamie.
Wonderful questions from Jamie. Thank you for putting this game together.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course. We'll start with you, Jamie. Shout outs, anything you'd like to say, anyone you'd like to say hello to, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So shout out to my son, Carter, who helped me with the pop quiz questions.
Hi, Carter. Great job.
And thank you. And then shout out to Chris and Brian, who are usually my trivia partners.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. And Colin, you told us during the recording off air that the release of this episode is around some pretty special events. So any last shout outs from you?
Yeah, I think this is supposed to come out right around my birthday and my graduation. So it's going to be an eventful couple of days.
Congrats to you.
Yeah, and certainly this is the most important of the highlights
important of the three.
Well, it's the last one, so I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Is that how that works? Yeah.
I think so.
And I was definitely the best kid at sports because I always got picked last.
Yeah.
And then also a special shout out to my wife, Laura, for letting me have some nice quiet time in the office. And shout out to my trivia team, Brontosaurus.
Brontosaurus.
I love it.
Great name.
It's one of the Bronte boys.
Well, you're both patrons, which we very much appreciate. So thank you to both of you and all of our patrons. If you'd like to join them, you can go to patreon.com/trivialitypodcast. And on behalf of all of us, thank you both for all the great work you do teaching and also helping people, Jamie. So thank you for spending some time with us today. And Matt, we hope the coffee you're serving up in the air is hot. And
boom, boom.
Yes. What's that?
That's the plane.
Oh, that's
when they
the
turn the seatbelt.
Oh, right. Matt never wears a seatbelt, though. That's what we've learned. Maybe not. I'm just slandering him.
In the jump seat.
But thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you to Jamie and Colin. Thank you to Ken, Jeff, and Matt. My name is Neil, and that was Triviality. But there was no sequel to Virgo, so yeah. Vertigo 2.
Vertigoer.
Vertigoer. Well, I'm afraid of heights.
Okay, sure.
The thing that's killing me is the TV show.
Giant spider movie.
The what?
It said in the second Vertigo, he's afraid of spiders.
Yeah, right.
It's a giant spider movie. That's why it's...
Little known fact, Arachnophobia is a sequel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I remember seeing that in the theaters, and that one creeped me out.
Oh, it's there. Too many legs. Your mandibles are...
Can I say it one more time?
I just imagine Jimmy Stewart counting to eight on his fingers, like, so many legs.
Is it weird that I want to see that movie now?
I'd love to see that movie.
Yeah, me too.
Vertigo 2.
All right. From the...